Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome in to the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, is Andrew. Andrew, it is football season, my friend. The switch has flipped. It is time to start talking some football. How excited are you to be back talking sport things on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast?
Oh, I love sport things. Love to talk sport things. We're going to talk about the sport thing with the brown ball that's pointy on the ends instead of the orange ball that's just round all the way around. But this is football season. We've got a game coming up in a couple days. We're recording this on a Wednesday night, and we've got a game on a Saturday morning at 11 a.m. at Memorial Stadium, a.k.a. the booth.
Nope.
We'll get to that. Anyway, play Indiana State Sycamores, home of Larry Bird. That's all I know about Larry, you know, the Sycamores is a basketball thing. Hopefully we'll win this game. I think we're favored.
Not by much.
We need a big win for Les Miles. But, you know, this is an exciting time of year because there is some reason to have some excitement, as opposed to the latter half of the David Beatty era, or really the entire David Beatty era and Charlie Weiss era and Turner Gill era. It's been a rough decade for the football portion of this podcast, which we're going into our eighth season of coverage. I think it's eight.
Wow.
We started with Charlie Weiss's first year, 2012. So this will be season number eight. Never won more than three games in that 8 year span.
Yeah, but do you remember?
So hopefully,
do you remember how jacked we were on that like 3 day window when we started getting 5-star quarterbacks?
Oh, we got Charlie Weiss, and then Dane Crist signed, and then Jake Heaps was going to come in the next year.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
We were going to go like, you know, maybe not BCS the first year, but probably year two, you know, we had a decided schematic advantage. We're just going to, you know, roll through this Big 12 thing,
schematic
advantage. Roll into some. Yeah.
So real quick, you said there's a reason for excitement. I totally agree with that. I think excitement is the right word. I don't think optimism is the right word, though. Like, there's a reason for excitement. Is there a reason for optimism? I think it depends on how you define the word and how you score the word. Are we talking about optimism in the form of winning? Are we talking about optimism in the form of a competitive team that, you know, plays competitive games and may win a couple here or there? I tend to probably fall more in the excited, but maybe not optimistic camp, but curious where you're
at. That's fair. Well, I think I'm in the same spot, and we'll get to all that. But Kevin, what are we even going to talk about today? It's been a while since we've sat down and had these talks, these chats, this Jayhawk talk amongst ourselves. can you give us a little preview?
Yeah. Since the last time we've been on, I think there's 13 new KU podcasts. Is that right?
Oh, right. Yeah.
There's a lot of podcasts out there now.
We're going to rebrand or just brand ourselves the original Jayhawk podcast. I think we were the first. If someone could come out there and say, hey, we were first, can show us the timestamp of being first, we'll give it to them. But I think we were first, Kevin.
Yeah, people really didn't even know what podcasts were when we were podcasting.
You couldn't even play it in your car. It was, you had to listen to it like on your phone.
Yeah.
It's a whole different era. We still record it the same way, which probably means we're 8 years behind.
That's on the how problem. So fun
the
fact,
kids are doing it.
Some of the podcast folks that have reached out to us who said they're starting podcast, and I always support them. You know, I said, great. Yeah, no problem. Anything I can do to help. But they asked me for like technical advice, and I'm like, dude, I'm the wrong person to ask. We are literally recording with the same exact GarageBand Skype setup that we started with in like 2004. I'm not the one. I'm sure there's some better technology out there. Yeah, but it probably still worked in 2004.
Well, in 2012, we were state of the art. Everything we were doing was state of the art, and we have made zero changes.
Honestly, that's probably the best time for me to, like, 2012, I was state of the art, and I've pretty much gone downhill since then.
We've grown up since this podcast has started. We both have children now. We're both married, but the podcast is still going on strong. And what better to do than to talk about a failing football program for 45 minutes or so?
Well, the good news is we've got excitement, Andrew. And to that end, we have a couple things we're going to talk about today. First of all, we're going to welcome Scott Chasen from 24/7 Sports on to give us a little football preview. You know, normally, Andrew, we do the preview to the preview show. That was back when we recorded more often. This year, we're skipping the preview to the preview. We're going straight to the preview show, which is what you're listening to right now. We are also going to talk, I'm really excited about this, the new ESPN Plus documentary. It kind of reminds you of Hard Knocks for college. It is the behind the scenes Miles to Go documentary. It's like a 38-part series. It's not really that many, but there's a bunch of episodes 18. Coming out. 18-part series coming out. They're dropping the first four tomorrow on Thursday. Andrew, you and I were the very first to see the first three episodes of this show. We have friends on high who passed it down to us. I was told we were literally the first KU, I guess we're not really media folks, but KU media-ish folks to see it. How about that? First of all, that's pretty cool. And we're going to talk about it. And we're gonna give you our feedback, our thoughts on it. And how we're going to do it is we're going to separate it into like overall like high-level stuff that anyone can listen to, but is not like spoilery. And then at the end, we'll do sort of a spoilery thing. So if you've watched the episode, you can kind of, you know, listen on later. Or if you don't really care, you can just listen to the whole thing. But which
so it's kind of like, it's kind of like your Game of Thrones podcast of choice with spoilers. There's a spoiler section, and then there's, you know, back how they used to do. I will do a little spoiler alert. Les Miles does take the job.
Oh man. Yeah. It was touching.
I think I just spoiled it for everybody, but it is an interesting show. We have seen the first three episodes, actually 2.5 for me, but it's actually, well, we'll get into it. So it's probably out by the time you're listening to this. It comes out, I think, at midnight tonight on ESPN Plus. You've got to get ESPN Plus anyway to watch, I think, half of these football games this year, or some of these football games. So you might as well just get it now to watch this show. Cancel at the end of the year. It's not a big deal. It's going to cost you $15. That's what it costs to go to a movie. This is better than a movie.
Maybe.
We'll get to it at the end.
Oh,
maybe.
The football.
We'll see how the... Yeah.
the show definitely better than the movie. The football, we'll see. We'll see. We'll hope. We're hopeful.
Yeah.
We're excited. We're not sure we're optimistic. Okay, Andrew. What do you say we pause for a minute here and you try to get our guy Scott Chasen on and talk through the quarterback battle we got going? We still have a quarterback battle. Let's talk through some gambling stuff. Let's see what he's seeing from the team. We'll be back in 1 second with Scott. We are back, and we are joined by the one and only Scott Chasen, the head KU beat writer of 24/7 Sports and the host of The Drive on WIBW. Scott, welcome to the program, man. How are you?
I am fantastic. As I told you guys before I started, podcasting legends I am speaking to, and I have never been more honored for anything in my life.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, thank you, Scott. We are the oldest KU podcast. We've mentioned this earlier, so I just want to spread that. If you say it enough times out loud, it makes it true. I think we've learned that. But Scott, thanks for coming on. Before we get into this, just tell us, like, how do you think Les Miles is doing? Just from your point of view, you've seen how, you know, you've seen things with the past couple seasons and this one. Is he doing okay?
Yeah, well, look, I think it starts with recruiting a lot of the times when you bring in a new coach, because you're hoping he's going to bring in a new caliber of player, a new caliber of coaching assistant, a new caliber of staff. And I think in that regard, yes, I think he's doing well. I think the first choice offensive coordinator, Chip Lindsey, would have been a great pairing on that staff. Obviously, they're on their second choice there with Les Caning. And the defensive staff, I think, I think he especially filled out well. I think Emmett Jones is another good name they brought in. And look, the 2020 recruiting class looks pretty nice, and what they were able to put together in 2019 is good. So in overview, looking at how he's done kind of as the CEO of this Kansas program, I think first summer, first, I guess, off season, you would say, yeah, he did a pretty good job, as well as can be expected. And now it's, you know, time to look at things and see what he can do on the field.
Yeah, it seems like that's the all that we can judge him on right now, right? And that'll all change on Saturday when we can actually judge him for some field performance and team performance. Let's look at the team a little bit. And obviously the biggest story, it seems like right now, beyond just obviously the whole Les Miles thing, is the quarterback battle. And it feels like it's sort of a tradition here on especially our podcast, and basically anytime we're talking about KU football, to talk about a quarterback battle about 38 minutes before the first game. Sure enough, here we are with another one of those quarterback battle, Thomas McVitie and then our guy Carter Stanley, it seems like, are the two that have separated themselves. Tell us what you're thinking when it comes to who the heck is going to start at quarterback on Saturday.
Well, look, you know, I think along with a lot of other people, we're kind of there given Les Miles. I don't know if benefit of the doubt is the right term, but look, David Beatty had three different quarterbacks start a half in three of his four seasons. And I believe they had two in the other one. So that in and of itself is, for a head coach, is unacceptable. That means you can't, you know, you not only are not trusting a guy, you also can't identify a guy. You can't figure it out. And for the longest time, you know, when you go out and get the number one 24/7 sports rated JUCO quarterback, you don't bring him into the system without thinking, hey, look, this guy is going to have a chance to start, especially when you're using a scholarship on him and you only have about 15 of those or 20 of those or whatever available in your limited first class. So Thomas McVitie was obviously brought in with the idea that he was going to play. The fact that he has not been named a starter is probably not a great sign, if you're being honest. And yeah, look, Carter Stanley is capable. We've seen him have some really nice games. That Oklahoma State game was, I would say, the best game last year. That was the best game of his quarterback career. He had another game with 400 yards, but I actually thought that game, he was very inaccurate in that game, and the production, the point totals weren't there. I really thought that Oklahoma State performance was, I think he had three touchdowns and 75% completion. I thought that was a fantastic performance. So the team likes Carter Stanley. That isn't to say they don't like Thomas McVitie, but you know that a lot of those guys have kind of thrown their support in past years and said that Carter Stanley is the guy they really believe in. So again, you know, benefit of the doubt kind of goes to Les Miles. I would say the most troubling thing he said is most recently acknowledging that he could use a two quarterback system. Thomas McVitie and Carter Stanley, they're similar. They're both relatively mobile guys. Thomas McVitie is bigger arm, maybe a little bit more injury threat, just given his past, you know, his career. Carter Stanley, maybe a little bolder, maybe a little bit less of an arm, but they're similar guys. So a two quarterback system doesn't make sense unless you can't identify which one is ahead of the other. For now, we'll give Les Miles the benefit of the doubt on that. But if this team is putting two quarterbacks in games again, then it's right back to where it was, at least at the quarterback spot in the David Beatty era. I think back to The Office. I believe it's Oscar who says when they hire co-managers of Jim and Michael, and he says something to the effect of, like, name me a country that isn't successful with two presidents. You know, where would Catholicism be without the Pope? Like, it just never works that way. So, you know, especially when those guys are so similar.
Make a prediction. Saturday's a couple days away. What's going to be?
Man, I would say my suspicion is growing that both quarterbacks are going to play. That does not mean they're going to switch off every other drive. I'll be intrigued to see if Manny Miles, who's the third name on the depth chart, gets in. Miles Kendrick, I would assume, is fourth. And Tory Loughlin being kind of the quarterback of the future. I think it's really tough to make a prediction at this point. I would say if everyone is 100% and fully healthy, then you would have to just guess the guy they brought in Thomas McVitie. But look, the longer this competition goes, the better it is for Carter Stanley, right? Mm-hmm. Because if Carter Stanley was going to win this job, it was always going to be by outlasting Thomas McVitie, not necessarily by surpassing him. So I think that bodes really well, at least for Stanley. That, I mean, today Les Miles on Hawk Talk kind of hinted that he had some clarity about the situation, or on Wednesday he did. But that doesn't necessarily, you know, again, it's just kind of hard to tell because you're 3 games out, you know, 3 days out from the first game. So I would stick with that if everyone is totally healthy. But again, that being said, the longer this thing goes, the better and better it looks for Carter Stanley.
Well, that's the quarterback position. Tell us about the running back position. So Puka has had a bit of a whirlwind off season. There were some questions about whether he would even make it back onto campus, but just missing the first game, what does the running back position look like for this first game? And then what's it look like going forward with Puka in the lineup?
Yeah. So Puka obviously being suspended, like you said, a domestic battery charge in December, he'll miss the FCS game against Indiana State. But I think KU has some other capable runners. Khalil Herbert's been a guy, rushed for 291 yards in a game in his sophomore season. My personal opinion, he was markedly underused by David Beatty last year. They fixed that a little bit late in the year, and he was pretty productive, but he's shown himself capable of being a number one guy as a sophomore. So in his senior year, I think he'll be fine. And but behind him, you've got Dom Williams, who's capable but hasn't necessarily shown it at Kansas. He's been like the practice or like the camp every year. It seems like we hear stories about him from camp and how great he looks. Just haven't seen it yet on the field. Velton Gardner is kind of that fourth running back. He's a freshman. They seem high on him. It does seem like he'll play. Now, if you have Puka back, it might be a case where you can get away with redshirting him and he only appears in 4 games. But they like their running back.
Okay, so that's the running backs. It seems like that's a strength, right, for the program. And maybe not this first game because obviously we don't have our best one. But do you see – let's talk about the offense now. And obviously going back and looking at what Les did – at LSU and maybe why he was dismissed at LSU was some thoughts on his offense and maybe not being able to adapt to a new game and some of those things that were sort of said back then. It seems like you look at our team again and our strengths are running back. Our strengths are offensive line. We don't even know who the hell our quarterback is. So is this going to be a run first kind of team? And then as a sort of corollary to that, we have a fullback on our team, one of the best ranked fullbacks in college football. Will that certain fullback get some playing time? Are we going to be a smash mouth football team, Scott?
Yeah, I think that's the goal. And I'm going to go back to something that Smacker Miles actually said this, the daughter of Les Miles. She actually said this on a radio interview. And I remember writing about it when the coaching search was going on. She was essentially asked about Les Miles' system, you know, how she thought it would work in the Big 12. And her answer was something to the effect of like, I don't know why you would try to run a spread offense at Kansas when you can, you know, go get big players and run the ball. First of all, at the time, I thought it was hilarious given the context of, you know, the entire situation, but that she said that. But I think there's some truth to it. I think that Les Miles is going to, the offense is going to have a lot of RPO type stuff. You don't go bring in Brent Bierman, the guy who literally wrote a book on RPOs if you're planning on running some RPOs. But I do think it'll be a run first team. And yes, I think Ben Miles will be playing. I think he'll be the top fullback.
Yes.
And Caperton Humphrey was the fullback last year and he transferred out of the program. And when that happened, we reported that he was in the transfer portal and I was a little bit surprised. I was a little bit confused. It makes a little bit more sense when you go get Ben Miles, who is fixing to start at fullback for Texas A&M. So that's kind of a big deal. They were expecting to start him there. So obviously he's going to start probably at Kansas.
Awesome.
Okay. Let's take a step back here. Scott, I think you're in episode 2 of Miles to Go. The conversation you just had about you talking about Smacker Miles and writing about Smacker Miles. She talks about that in episode 2 of Miles to Go. So when that comes out tomorrow, have you seen it?
Well, hold on a sec. When is this interview being released? Because there are some things I can and some things I cannot talk about.
So we've already seen them too. Have you seen them?
I have seen, how many of you guys seen?
3.
Okay. So we're on the same page.
Okay. So We're not going to like talk about it. We're going to sort of talk about it. We're going to do a spoiler section actually after when you're done with this, we're going to do a spoiler section. So theoretically, some of what we talk about can probably get out before midnight, but like realistically, no one's going to listen to it. And also, so I think we're safe. We're in the safe zone to sort of talk about it just at a high level.
Okay. I'm just letting you know, I cannot talk about it at all. So, if it's coming out before noon, tomorrow, so just letting you guys know,
we will not put you on the spot.
For the folks at home, watch episode 2. I think she's talking about Scott.
Yeah, a little bit. And I'll say this. If there were, you know, I went back and reviewed that story actually. And it's funny because at the time, she was, you know, Les Miles had not been hired, but she said something about like, when they asked her, you know, what is this a done deal? She said something to the effect of like, I don't want to jinx it, which is like, again, here's the thing. Everyone knew that Les Miles was at the top of the candidate list. Every single person ever. I mean, this was the most obvious coaching search, maybe in the history of coaching searches. I can't think of a more obvious one. Like, so look, you know, it's, you got to find different ways to write about it or whatever. And yeah, when the daughter of one of those candidates goes on a radio interview and specifically says she doesn't want to jinx it by talking about a coaching search, yeah, it gives you a pretty good indication of what's kind of happening there.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right, but you know what, whatever, it's gone now. I think we're happy to have Les. It should be very interesting. We actually had Smacker on the podcast. She was great. She
She's
knows
great.
Her stuff. Yeah.
She's great.
So one question for you, we're looking at a team now with a pretty small incoming freshman class, right? Because we, as you mentioned earlier, there were 15 scholarships ish due to the blue shirts and all the stuff that Beatty's staff had done in the previous coaching administration. So we're now faced with a few incoming freshmen, many of which were signed late, but it sounds like some of them are going to be asked to contribute early. Are you hearing that as well? And if so, is there anyone we should be keeping an eye on from the true freshman class?
Yeah, I would say on the defensive side of the ball, I'd give you three names. Dejon Terry won't start at defensive tackle, but I expect him to play, especially after talking to Quan Drake last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, at Media Day. He was very high on Dejon Terry. And I think the linebackers on this team are really thin. And if you're going to be playing with four of them in a 3-4 system, now K will play 3-3-5 a lot, which they actually did last year a lot too, just because it's the Big 12, it's a passing league, you want five defensive backs kind of at a minimum on the field at all times. So, but when they do play with linebackers, Stephen Parker, the top-ranked recruit in the class, he's a guy that can get on the field and rush the quarterback right away. And then Gavin Potter was a name that, you know, they moved his position to middle linebacker before he was kind of on the outside. And from the sound of things, he's been a guy that's impressed more and more as camp has gone on. So I would say those three guys especially come to mind. They've got a freshman kicker who's in the kicking battle. I'm not sure where he's at. You got a guy in Jamal Horn, who I wrote a feature about this week, who's starting at kick returner. Kenny Logan, a defensive back, he'll help out in the kick return game too. But it's really those three guys on the defensive side of the ball, Dejon Terry, Stephen Parker, and then Gavin Potter.
Gavin Potter's our guy after that announcement. Do I have that right? Wasn't he the one that did like the shirtless announcement or something, announcing
yeah,
to Kansas?
He was committed to K-State. He had a K-State sweatshirt on,
yes.
Took that off to reveal a Texas Tech shirt, and then took that off to reveal Kansas painted on his body.
Hell yeah. I love that.
If that would have been anyone else, I would have hated it. Like if it was somebody picking against my school, or if it was just like three random Pac-12 schools, I would have hated that guy. But because he picked us, like that's my guy now.
That's my guy.
I'm going to ride for that guy.
So Scott, another question for you. So we look, seems like we've got a pretty good personnel on the offensive line. Obviously we talked about running backs, maybe some, I don't know if it's a strength, but at least some returning guys in the secondary. Is the front seven the scariest thing for our team right now? Is that the area that you identify and go, ooh, that could be interesting to see how that shakes out?
Yeah, here's the thing. Like you're correct in saying that there's entire uncertainty there because you're basically losing every starter. I would come back and say this. If you can find guys who are good enough, your secondary should be more than enough to kind of keep you in games. I think there's kind of just the question across the board of, hey, you lost your front seven. You lost a couple guys on the O-line. You lost your quarterback, kind of, because I don't think people thought Peyton Bender was the permanent answer. What is the benefit? You know, what is the net gain of having Les Miles, a new coaching staff, and kind of all these pieces around them? For that, I don't think the team will be that much better in year one, not because Les Miles isn't a better coach than David Beatty, but just because you're working against some of these other factors, and I'm not sure how much, like, you could have the best wide receivers coach in the world. KU has a very good one, by the way, in Emmett Jones. I'm not sure that will instantly make, you know, certain guys better. However, the flip side of that is maybe guys who weren't getting a chance to play before, now all of a sudden they get on the field and you can see what they can do. And this doesn't really answer your question about the front seven, but like a guy like Dalen Charlotte is what I think of. A guy who basically every time he played, at least to me, my untrained eye looked pretty good, never really got the chances. Now we're going to get to see what it looks like when he gets those chances. So the defensive, yeah, the front seven, it's going to be interesting. You know, here's a little tidbit that they're not only going to play 3-4 and 3-3, they're going to play some 4-3 this year too. Quan Trake actually told me that. They're going to, you know, be totally willing to mix it up and go with whatever they need to do. So, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest question mark right now. But there are other question marks. Quarterback is a gigantic one, obviously. Wide receiver is still kind of up in the air, even though they have some guys they like. And look, secondary, Hassan Defense is starting at cornerback. Hassan Defense struggled at cornerback. He got a lot better when he moved to safety. Now he's moving back to the position that he kind of struggled at. So I think it'll be interesting to see what that looks like.
So let's walk through the schedule a little bit. And we are trying to find wins. We are hunting. We're hunting for W's. And the more we're hunting, the less we're coming up with W's as we look through this schedule. If we were set, I think the over-under is at 3 games. Does that feel like a good number, or are you willing to go set some money on either side of it?
It's a great number because if you ask me for my like pick, that's the pick I would give you. So I have a hard time, you know, wanting to go in either direction because that's honestly where I feel like this team will exactly be at this year. I've heard some of my media colleagues go a little bit lower on that. I'm not sure I've actually heard anyone pick more than 4 wins. I'm just trying to think through it in my head. But here's the good news. If you're a Kansas fan, you want reason to be hopeful. Here is the great news for you. Kansas plays 5 home games in Big 12 play this year. The other years, they'll play 4 or 5, you know, because they play 9 games. So they have an extra game at home. They play the teams ranked 6, 7, 8, 9, all at home. So, again, think about that. You play the worst 4 teams in the Big 12 other than yourself, all at home, and then you have an additional home game on top of that. You know, you have one easier non-con game, one harder one. I think that is where you look at that and say, hey, yeah, maybe they could steal, you know, a couple games they wouldn't otherwise get.
Well, that is a source of optimism. Not sure it has swayed me to go lay down a sizable bet on the over, but that is a source of optimism for those that may be considering that. You can now wager legally in a number of states, or if you need a guy, let me know. Andrew, what else you got for Scott? Anything else before we let this guy go and get very back to very busy?
Are we going to win on Saturday?
Oh, that's a great question. I think so. I'm very interested to see what it looks like, though. You know, if last year hadn't happened, I would have said yes, quite frankly. And here's the deal. Indiana State is ranked number 16-ish in the coaches' poll in FCS. FCS teams can be good, okay? I am not – no one should ever deny that at all. However, you are playing the number 16 team in the FCS. You're not playing the number 1 team, the number 2 team. You're playing the 16th best team, if you want to give them that. You probably need to come out and win this game to start the Les Miles era. It would not be a good look if the team goes something like 1-11 this year and only beats Coastal Carolina. So I think it's a really important game in that regard. I do think they win, but I think it'll be a hard fought game. I'm very intrigued to see what it looks like. I think it'll be closer than what people think. I think the line is somewhere in the range of 3-5. I think that's a pretty good line. That's about the line that I would put on that game.
Wow. Well, it's going to be very interesting, as you said. Scott, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We'll have you back on the podcast. I think if you're if you get on here two or three times, we send you a watch. Isn't that right, Andrew?
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Haney's got like 5 watches.
Haney's got a few watches. So, hey man, really appreciate it. Everybody check out Scott's work over there at 24/7 and on the good program on WIBW. And where can we find you on Twitter, Scott?
I'm at Chasing Scott.
Perfect. Hey, thanks very much, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to that watch.
Sounds good.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run. Try to hide. Break on through to the other side.
All right, we are back. Thanks again to Scott Chasing for joining us, new friend of the podcast. Go find his work at 24/7 and Twitter and WIBW. Andrew, we always have a little tradition here on the old podcast where we take a look at the schedule and we convince ourselves that we're going to make a bowl game. And we've done this for just about every year that we've been involved with this podcast. And in some years, we sort of convinced ourselves, you know what? I could sort of see how this could happen. I don't see why we wouldn't continue this tradition this year, Andrew, and walk through the schedule and see if we can find ourselves 6 wins, because that's all we need. Andrew, do you see us finding 6 wins?
I hope we can, because I really want to go to the Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix.
Yes.
I'm almost, well, once we get through this, and if we get to 6 wins, I'm going to book my ticket to the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes.
I'm going to get my Airbnb in Scottsdale. We're going to get this all straightened out. Everyone's welcome to join me, but we've got to get through the schedule first.
Andrew, you just hit on something there. I think we should just commit right here and now. If KU gets to bowl eligibility, gets to the Cheez-It Bowl, you and I are going to host a pool party at our Airbnb, and all Jayhawk Talk fans are welcome to join us. Will you commit to that right now?
Sure. Cheez-It Bowl or bust?
Yes.
Cheez-It Bowl or bust. Sure.
Okay, perfect. I think we should just go ahead and make arrangements right now. Let's make arrangements right now. Let's make this happen. I think we should probably just contact Jeff Long and let him know that we are indeed hosting this. Let's see where it goes. I love it, Andrew. I'm so glad we're doing it. All right, let's get to this thing. What do you say?
All the Cheez-Its and Coors Light you can eat and drink.
All right, I'm on my 3rd Coors Light right now, so I'm all the way in on that, Andrew. So, all right, so where are we here? Let's walk through this schedule here.
Well, now that we've made this commitment, let's just make this happen. Let's go through. All right, first game, Indiana State. Indiana State Sycamores. My thought, Larry Bird is not walking through that door. The Jayhawks get the win here.
That's right. I'm with you. We are 1-0 after this game, Andrew. It will probably be a covering of the spread, hopefully. We play maybe 1-2 or maybe even 3 quarterbacks. It doesn't matter. We come off 1-0. The Les Miles era is off to a great start. And now we have moved on to Coastal Carolina. Andrew, who do you got with Coastal Carolina, which is on TV somewhere, I'm sure?
ESPN Plus, same network as Miles to Go, which we'll discuss in a moment. Coastal Carolina, who you got?
Give me the Jayhawks. 2-0 start, baby. 2-0.
Yes, Coastal Carolina is my favorite Carolina, ahead of Eastern Carolina, and then South and North are coming up in the rear. So Coastal Carolina, sorry, you do not beat the Jayhawks. We have 2 wins. By now, we're 1/3 of the way there.
Yes.
We're a 1/3 of the way to the Cheez-It Bowl.
Yes, we are. That is awesome. Okay, Andrew, we are now on to a road game. Our first true road game, off to Boston College. And I got bad news, Andrew. Boston College, I think, is projected for like 6 or 7 wins. I can't remember what the over-under is, but they are quite a bit better than our over-under, if you will. I'm not feeling so great about this game, Andrew. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think the Jayhawks end up falling to 2-1, but that's okay because there might be 4 more games we could find on the schedule. I just don't think it's going to happen. What do you think, Boston College?
I'm not taking Kansas here. Boston College is going to win this game. Yeah, sorry.
I agree.
We still have 2 wins. Still 2-1. That's not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. Okay, Andrew. Now we get into the Big 12 season. This is it.
This is where we'll know. Because like you could legitimately be 2-1 here and the season could go one way or the other against these West Virginia Mountaineers. Like Charlie Weiss was 2-1 at one point too. So if we're going to go get 6 wins, we're going to have to beat the Mountaineers here. The Mountaineers are not very good this year. They're coming into Lawrence. We've got to win this game. I'm going to pick the Jayhawks here.
I am too. Give me the Jayhawks 3-1.
3-1.
All right. So let's move on and take a look at the TCU game. Andrew, this is on the road at TCU. Not feeling quite as good about this game. I think we're going to win most of our games at home if we're going to win games this year. What about you?
Yeah, not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Okay, let's not spend any more time on it. But I got good news. Now we get to play number four ranked Oklahoma at home. I don't think we should waste our time on this one in particular. What about you?
We're not going to win this.
Yeah, let's move on. Okay, so I got also more bad news. Texas is on their way to Lawrence now. Texas is the 10th ranked team in the preseason. Obviously, a really solid team. Probably not worth taking a look at this one either, Andrew.
Yeah. We're now sitting at 3-4. We're going to need to turn around. We get Texas Tech coming in.
That's right. See, this one I'm actually feeling pretty good about. What about what were you?
This
where
is
you
a W. Got to be a W. New coach. This is your new coach versus our new coach. Yes. Our new coach is better. We get the W. We get back to 500. 4-4. We've got to close out. We've got 4 games left. We've got to get 2.
Got to get 2. Okay, Andrew, this is going to be the fun one. We're talking about K-State coming to Lawrence. First time under a new head coach. We've got, obviously, a new head coach. And if you're going to pick one game to go to, this is the one you got to be at, right? We got to fill this stadium with Jayhawks. It's going to be a ton of fun. And actually, I got a really good feeling about it. I think this might be one of the games that, like, legitimately, I'm not just saying this for the bowl eligibility thing. I think we might win this game. I think everyone's going to be jacked up. It's going to be a lot of fun. Give me the Jayhawks, Andrew. We're going to start a new streak against K-State. A winning streak against K-State, a good streak, and let's see if if Les can turn it around. What about you?
Right, that's going to be a big weekend. I think you've got the Tournament of Champions or
Champions Classic.
What's the basketball thing coming up Champions on Tuesday? Yep. If we can get a win here and then beat Duke on the Tuesday following, it'll be a big week for the Jayhawks. But you know what? This is a similar deal. Putting up our guys against our new coach against your new coach, K-State. We picked the better guy. We're going to win this game.
That's right. So we've got, we got to go to Oklahoma State.
Mm.
Yeah.
Not feeling great.
Yeah. Me neither. I'm not. No.
5-5.
Okay.
So after this K-State game, just telling you, after this K-State game, we'll have 5 wins. That means we got to get one more in the last 3 to make a bowl game. Potentially the Cheez-It Bowl, potentially. But so, Oklahoma State's not going to be that win.
So we've got Iowa State next, up in Ames. They're good again, right?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
This is annoying that Iowa State is good. But I guess the point is they got a good coach, and when you get a good coach, you can turn things around. Maybe we will, but I don't think we're going to win this game, Andrew.
Well, maybe we take a page out of their playbook. They seem to like beat random teams when they're out of contention late in the year. So maybe I'm not going to pick the win here, even though as much as I'd like it, because I'm picking a win in the next game.
Yes.
There's going to be a kick at the end of regulation against Baylor. And on that radio call, you're going to hear the Hawks are bowl eligible. The Jayhawks are bowl eligible.
And they're going to the Cheez-It Bowl. That's what I'm talking about. And it's going to be a party down in Scottsdale at the nicest Airbnb that we can afford. We're going to host a hell of a party. You got to be there. So, Andrew, we've done it again. We've done it again.
This right here, that fantasy season we just had, that was the best part of the season that we'll have.
I hope not, man. I hope we stay in games all season long. I'm not expecting wins. I'm expecting 3 to 4 wins. Like anything less than 3 sucks. Anything more than 3 is great. And if it's more than 4, it's like, let's erect a statue. Like it's Les Miles Stadium. All right, let's move on here.
All right, Kevin, let's move on to a preview of Miles to Go. You're probably listening to this on a Thursday or Friday. This show should already be out on ESPN Plus. I think there should be 4 episodes released for you. We have seen the first 3, and we're just going to kind of give you our thoughts on what's going on here. Think of it like a Game of Thrones review podcast, except for a Les Miles reality show.
Exactly. It's exactly like that. I mean, like if you like Hard Knocks on HBO, it's basically like the same type of thing. Maybe, focused a little bit more on the college game, but this is really interesting. Consider at least for the first few episodes, when you're watching Hard Knocks, you know, they do like the stuff on the field and, you know, practices and things like that. We don't have that yet. For the first few episodes, we are starting all the way back to when Beatty was fired, like the day of. They're talking about the press conference and like prepping for it and things like that. And the rest of it is sort of like what's going on in the office, a lot of hallway conversations. You know, it's sort of like the when John Gruden leans back in his chair, it's like those conversations. That's what's going on here. And then lots of cool hallway shots and different
things.
And drone shots of like the stadium and all kinds of stuff. It's actually like really well produced and well done. But it sort of makes you wonder like, gosh, this started not that long after Jeff Long was hired. Like they had to put this together really, really fast.
Right. So that gets me to my first point. Right. I have a feeling that this is kind of like Keeping Up with the Kardashians a little bit. I'm, and this is the only negative thing I'll say about it, is that I question the veracity of this. I question the truthfulness, because there was a camera in the room when Jeff Long was going through the firing process with Dave Beatty. He was mic'd up when he went into the locker room to talk to the players. Like, how did they plan this whole production, and why were they there that day? Like, I want to know these questions, because, you know, did they call up this production company that's now associated with ESPN Plus or whatever party is filming this thing and say, hey, got this great idea. We're going to film this thing and Les Miles is going to be the coach and you're going to get 18 episodes out of it. It seems just a little fishy to me. That being said, pretty great.
Yeah, it is good. It's actually really good. Really well done. But the timing, I agree. It comes across as like, whoa, that they really had this all planned out pretty well. And it does go to show that obviously Les Miles was high up on the list here. I mean, they talked about some other candidates sort of, but at the end of the day, this was all about Les Miles. I mean, it was all about Les Miles.
Well, and then right. And there's a camera in Les Miles's workout room as he's talking on the phone about this deal.
Yeah.
Like, this has got to be like Monday or Tuesday after the firing, or even the Sunday of firing of Dave Beatty. So that's the only thing. I'm going to have just a couple. I'm going to have a couple quick hitters from episode 1. Just quick thoughts. Jeff Long has the quote, "I got to stay off Twitter." I think I agree with him.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and say I agree with you, Jeff Long. I think you need to stay off Twitter.
I agree too. the Jeff Long stuff was all pretty interesting. He comes across kind of goofy, but I guess that's sort of what he's like on, you know, Twitter and stuff too. But is what it is.
The other thing is I like the way Les Miles says mature or premature.
Mature.
He says mature.
Mature.
It's like, man, I want to just change my mode of speech to say, you know, it's a little premature to talk about that.
Mature.
Those are my highlights from episode 1.
Yeah, a couple other quickies. Bill Self makes an appearance talking to Jeff Long about the hiring process. Kevin Keatsman makes an awkward or random appearance. And then my favorite part was right before the press conference.
Yeah. Love this part. Love
so
this part.
He's standing outside the door and his associate AD mentioned something like, come into the room with authority. And that's what he did. And then he opens the door and marches in with authority. And sure enough, he does the press conference. But it was just kind of funny, like sitting in the hallway, the guys, you know, it was like, all right, whew, last thing, come into the room with authority. And then he did. But otherwise, yeah, I think that's the big stuff from episode one.
Definitely. First, I didn't really like the first episode.
Yeah,
two and three are much better.
I agree. Two and three, especially three.
Episode one just made me feel bad for Dave Beatty.
Yeah.
Episode two and three, I was over that.
So let's talk about that. I mean, it makes you wonder a little bit, like, what Beatty thinks of all this. Because it's like...
Were they planning this show while he was still employed?
I mean, it does make you wonder a little bit because, I mean, they even talk about it a touch during the... You know, during the whole thing where I think maybe Pete Thamel was talking to Les Miles on the phone and he's like, hey, Les, like, you excited about this? And even Les is like, well, I don't know. It's a, I mean, yeah, but it's just a little awkward because this is not, you know, there's still a coach there. There's still a coaching staff there and they're going to be gone, but it's just, these aren't my guys yet. And it's just, it seemed, even at the time, I thought it was dumb that we retained Beatty for those three games because it was sort of this lame duck thing. Even though they played well and actually ended up working out fine, it was just kind of a strange deal for Les in a lot of ways and maybe for Dave.
All right, episode two is Les Miles takes the job. There's a scene where he's in his car. I believe it's a Chevy Tahoe or something similar. And he's like, I'm coming. I've always wanted to work with you, Jeff Long. So kudos to you, Jeff Long. You got your guy. He gets in his plane. I think he flies to North Carolina to watch his son play. And then he flies to Lawrence with a family in a private jet. And they show his phone going off when they land. It was like a minute long of text messages coming in. And then they do the press conference.
Yeah, if you like private jets and car shots and lots of hallway conversations, this show is for you, which actually is pretty cool. You know, like that's mostly what was going on, right? And the day of the press conference, I mean, you might recall, Andrew, that was a little awkward. Les came off a little awkward in that press conference. Maybe now we can give him a pass knowing that he's had camera crews running around with him for the past week. But if you, like I said, if you like shows that really show behind the scenes, really show kind of what's going on. And frankly, what I've learned is that the KU athletics department just has a ton of work that gets done in the hallways, just like walking around the hallways.
It's like the West Wing without the funny banter. But yeah, it's basically the whole show is a cameraman chasing Jeff Long down a hallway.
Yeah. And, you know,
that's the whole show.
And a jets and cars. But yeah, like that's.
Yeah.
That's it. Which is fine. Like, that's pretty cool, actually. But yeah. So.
So episode one and two, the main character is Jeff Long. Episode three is when Les Miles becomes the protagonist of this epic adventure story. And I think this is where it really gets good. Like, this is when the show really begins. And as a KU fan, just the first 5 minutes kind of breaks your heart and then suddenly gives you immediate hope for this guy is the real deal and I'll get the thing fixed. There's a scene where he meets the director of recruiting and has a shocking discovery that he's it. He's the entire recruiting department. And the look on his face is one of shock and one of, can I back out of this job now? But as he gets into evaluating recruiting tape, that's when you realize, okay, that's why this guy's good. just listening to him talk about it and analyze it, that's why you realize this guy has had so much success in his career.
Yeah, and in the scene you're talking about, it's pretty funny because he gets into an in-depth conversation about, hey, we're looking at this guy, and he asks, are these evals or are they highlights? And the recruiting director says, highlights. And he said, I don't want to watch any more highlights. I want to see evals. He says, I want to see if the kid that we're watching here ran hard, even when the play wasn't going his direction. And if he's not running hard, I don't even want to look at him. And that was actually pretty interesting. You think about like basketball highlights these days. It's like, oh, that was a good dunk. Oh, look at that dunk. Oh, that was a pretty good breakaway dunk. Considering evals,
right?
Versus highlights, it's different. It's different.
Doesn't this sound so familiar though? From the past 9 years, it seems like we get these flashy guys who probably have great highlight tapes. Well, you've even seen some of those tapes. Like if you remember the KU Dream Team that was coming in where none of those guys even played. I mean, those guys were like the flashy highlight reel guys. It's right. So that's why he's talking about highlight films versus evaluation films. It just kind of clicked for me about the guys we've been getting and the guys that he's going to try to go after. So saying this all to say, like, he's saying the right things, doing the right things. We hope it turns onto the field. Well, I encourage you to watch the show, everybody at home. Maybe we'll continue to break down this very briefly on this podcast if it continues to be pretty good. If we're bad this season, they have 18 episodes of us being bad. I can't imagine it's going to be watchable.
I don't know.
But who knows?
They might actually be more interesting if it's bad, because then you get to see like whose head's rolling or whatever. But one other quote that I liked from this episode, he's talking to an old assistant coach and he says something like, hey, let me tell you about Kansas. It's beautiful. I mean, honest to flipping Christ, it's beautiful. I just really liked, I never heard, I think flipping is sort of a nomenclature you can use for the F word, but never heard it paired with flipping Christ. I don't know. This kind of made me laugh. Anyway, Andrew, this is a thing. Like, it was kind of fun. I think people should check it out. Check it out.
Should be out. If you're listening to this podcast, it should be available.
Yeah. Plus, by the time you are listening to this, you'll probably have access to 4 episodes instead of the 3 that we saw. So, Andrew, let's talk about Memorial Stadium.
That is correct. That is what it's called.
Okay. I'm glad that we're on the same page here, because I've been seeing some stuff on Twitter and some other places calling it the Booth.
So give the background here. So David Booth donated a bunch of money, and so it became David Booth Stadium, David Booth Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
David Booth Memorial. Right. Whatever. So it's called David Booth Memorial Stadium, which makes it seem like David Booth is dead. He's not dead. He's alive. He lives in Austin, Texas. He still gives money to the university.
A lot of money to the university.
So if you give a bunch of money, you get your name on things. And yeah, it's not even, some people don't even want their name on it, but they have to give, they basically have to, there has to be like a give and take. Like, I learned this, that some people don't want it, but then they have to do it because it's such a big amount. I don't know the details, but so that's what happened here. So whatever, he gave a bunch of money. It's great for the university, David Booth Memorial Stadium. But then this thing happened of, they wanted to call it the Booth. Like, the stadium is now called the Booth?
Yeah, okay. So I don't know the origins of the Booth. I know that when they changed the name, I thought it was dumb. I did not like changing. I mean, name anything else after Booth. Literally any building on campus. I don't care what you do, except for Allen Fieldhouse. But, like, a memorial stadium is a memorial stadium. And I know other colleges that have, quote, memorial stadiums have used other names in that, and some of them have been donors, which I every time just thought it was dumb. But maybe I'm old here.
You're old, Kevin. Okay. You're old.
All right, maybe I am old. But I guess at the end of the day, Memorial Stadium is an old ass stadium. I mean, it's one of like maybe I think like 6 or 7 stadiums that are older that are still being used than ours, is that like, that's it. And it's a living memorial. I mean, you can name, like on campus, there's a bunch of memorials and they're all sort of, you know, statues or, you know, the campanile or whatever. It's just, it's something you can go look at and, you know, maybe walk up and touch, but it's not a living memorial. A living memorial is something that you use, that you see, that you could go into and that you experience. And that's a stadium. Like the whole point of this, when they named it Memorial Stadium, was to honor the students that lost their lives in World War One, or as they were calling it at the time, the Great War. Who knew that there was going to be a second one and a bunch of other wars after? But at the time, it was like a time of grieving, but also a time of like celebrating and saying that we want to honor these folks. And like, that's what is great about Memorial Stadiums and why so many colleges and other places created Memorial Stadiums, because it was that, like, it was that way to sort of celebrate something, have something positive to do rather than, you know, rather than just, you know, create a statue or whatever. So, call me crazy, but like, I never liked the memorial thing, or the David Booth thing. I just didn't. But now you fast forward and now we're wherever this thing came from, the booth is apparently a thing. Hashtag the booth. It would have been nice if we could just name the field after Booth, because there are that's a thing where you have like Memorial Stadium, the field at whatever. But there was they named after
John Cavisto. He went to jail.
got it. So that's a little more problematic. But Andrew, at the end of the day, like I don't think I care about the booth. I think it's more about the changing Memorial Stadium. Like when we were there, it was Memorial Stadium. Like you go to, hey, you want to go to Memorial Stadium? Like where's KU play? Memorial Stadium. It just feels right. I don't like calling it the booth. I'm never going to call it the booth. This podcast will not call it the booth. Is what it is.
I don't want to be sued, so I'm not quite sure if Tom Cavisto went to jail, but I think there was some things that happened that put him at risk of going to jail.
Got it. Okay.
Just want to put that out there. Everything you said about, you know, a memorial stadium, like there's a lot of memorial stadiums, like, you know, the more famous ones are like Nebraska. A lot of high school stadiums are called memorial stadiums just for that reason. I'll let you have that reason. Maybe I'll just stick to the, maybe I'm old fashioned, but I want my head coach to eat grass. I want my quarterback to be named Matt, and I want my stadium to be a memorial stadium.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
That's more of a traditional. And I get it. I'm nothing against David Booth. I think it's fine. And maybe we can call it David Booth Memorial Stadium. I just don't like the booth. It sounds cozy and quaint and like this is a large venue.
I guess I get that. I don't know, Andrew.
I think we're on the opposite side of most people.
Oh,
by the way.
Oh, for sure. I think this is a pretty fiery hot take. Yeah. And that's the other side of it. I guess here's the other thing. It feels a little forced. Like we are, like everyone's excited that Les Miles is here and whatever. And I'm old enough to remember it was exciting when Charlie Weiss was here, but like, let's let traditions develop. I hate forcing new traditions. It's like a oxymoron. It's something that bothers. Let's see how this all shakes out. I want to put people in the seats as much as anybody. I think it's awesome to have some fire on the program, it just feels a little forced. So anyway, I'm not going to call it the booth. It will not be hashtag the booth from this podcast.
That being said, if we tear two or three goalposts down in the booth, I might enjoy it. It's like all those people who were against Trajan font, and then you win the national championship with the new Trajan font jerseys, and suddenly like it's the best thing ever. You can never change it.
Well, that is accurate. And Andrew, I don't know about you, but I was heavily involved in taking down some of those goalposts.
Oh, I have a. Oh yes. I had a friend get pneumonia fishing one out of the water.
Yeah. There were times when back in the day, Andrew, that you would tear down goalposts just for beating Iowa State, even if you were favored by 5 or 6 points, just because you needed to tear those down. Because, of course, Andrew, you just became bowl eligible. There was that's maybe one of those things, like, mm-hmm. we were the old, I'm sure there were 35-year-olds back then that were like, oh, these kids tearing down goalposts for wins that don't even matter, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we've definitely aged with this podcast. I think when we started off out with this, we were, you know, we're both, I guess, freshly out of law school, you know, so not too far removed from undergraduate. And now we've grown up a little bit. Now we're starting to have these old man hot takes.
I guess that's how it goes. It is what it is.
Like the 26-year-olds back then would be like, you guys are dumb. Like this Twitter joke's awesome. The booth, come on, guys. And now we're 35. We're like, what is this?
All right, Andrew, let's get out of here. I'm tired of talking about the booth. This has been fun getting back into the podcast game. We will be back to talk about some more football stuff very soon. And you can find me at Jayhawk Talk. You can find Andrew at Sherlock Hoops. Thank you to Scott Chasen for joining us. And thank you, most importantly, to you for listening to us. Hope you like the miles to go. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We will catch you next time, hopefully after a 1-0 start. Anything else, Andrew?
It's going to be raining Cheez-Its.
Hell yeah, it is. Cheez-It bowl or bust. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. Rock Chuck.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans.
Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
For my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering. All them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering. 9 times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild. Night before the Final Four, you can't even sleep now. Yeah, we at the peak now, we can't even leap down. March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it.
This
one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck J Hawk in your faces.
It's for my J Hawk fans, for my J Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my J-Hawk fans, for my J-Hawks. This for my